HarperCollins presents The Last Girl to Die, written by Helen Fields, read by Jamie Barbacoff and Robin Lang. To Helen Huthwaite, for always bringing the sunshine. Chapter 1. Finding Adriana Clark's body was a shock, but not a surprise. I had, after all, been searching for it. The girl had been lost to her family for 11 devastating days and nights. I mention the nights because, in my experience, they outweigh the daytime and awfulness so greatly that the daylight hours become irrelevant. Families waiting for a missing loved one to return can fill their days. They can make telephone calls, put up posters, give pleading interviews to the press, bake bread, or go to church. Everyone, everywhere, has some sort of altar, domestic, professional, or religious, at which to bend the knee in times of crisis during the day. But when I first met Adriana's family, I saw the horror of the endless nights they'd endured waiting for the phone to ring and the seconds to pass. Nighttime is not merely a lack of light. It is the darkness within each of us when we lose hope. The facts of the initial case were not uncommon. A teenager had disappeared. 17 years old, from a family living on the Isle of Mull, west of the Scottish mainland. An American family, which was one of only two aspects of the case that struck me as unusual. Had they been visiting Mull as tourists, then that would have been one thing. But it seemed a bizarre place for a family from Southern California to have chosen to live. For one thing, save for a brief, blissful summer, there were many fewer hours of sunshine per annum, not to mention the lack of malls, coffee franchises, and delivery options. Still, I thought, good for them. Personally, I was much happier in smaller communities rooted in nature and self-sufficiency than in oxygen-deprived cities. But then I'm a Canadian who hails from Banff. Much like Mull, Banff half tolerates, half welcomes the annual influx of tourists. I always managed to escape into the mountains in winter, or to sit by a lake in summer when I needed peace. A call to investigate a case in Vancouver or Toronto was how I usually defined a long-distance trek. Scotland was a commute further than I'd anticipated. So, to Adriana. One late September Saturday morning, her parents awoke, assumed her daughter was sleeping in, and became concerned only at lunchtime by her failure to appear. Her father put his head round her door and discovered an empty bed. No sign of her anywhere in the house. Her bike still in the garage. Wallet gone, but Adriana's passport remained in her mother's bedside table. No sign of her cell phone. 5 days later, I landed at Glasgow Airport and made my way overland to the ferry. You're wondering if I'm a police officer. I'm not. Nor am I a pathologist or any sort of forensic expert. What I am is a private investigator, a title I'm not keen on, but it comes with a license, and sometimes a piece of paper is useful when you're asking people to share information. I specialize in missing teenagers. Not the subset of work I'd had in mind when I started out, but I'm female and short, thus apparently unthreatening, and I have what's been referred to more than once as a cheerful, positive manner. Also dimples. Sadly, none of those things were ever going to bring Adriana back or render her parents' grief less dreadful. They let me into their home and told me everything they believed to be relevant about their daughter. Adriana was enrolled in an online educational course to complete her American high school diploma. She'd had a summer job at the local pub in Tobermory, where they were renting whilst renovating a permanent home. Good student. No drug problem, no boyfriend, very social, missing her friends in America to an appropriate extent, no red flags. She had a twin brother, Brandon, with furious eyes. That was okay. I couldn't imagine how it would feel to have a missing twin. He was suffering. Last was a little sister, Luna, 4 years.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?